Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Mike Schwartz, Tennessee Basketball Associate Head Coach. Mike, thanks for the time. It's great to have you back on. I hope you got some sleep last night after the road trip to Nashville.
Yeah, you know, we got a little bit. We just got back. We actually decided to stay the night there as opposed to getting back at 4 a.m. Only because the guys don't have class right now, so it worked out. So we got up this morning, and we got on the road, and we just pulled back into Knoxville. But, yeah, Josh, Heather, Happy New Year to you guys. Great to speak with you guys again. Hope all's well for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to go through the late part of last night's game. So about a minute to go, game's tied. Uroš Plavšić has the rebound and basket to go up two. And then Zakai Ziegler with the steal on the inbounds. How critical were those two back-to-back plays? And then maybe what does that say about what you're getting out of Uroš and Zakai?
Well, obviously they were huge plays, both of them. And it wasn't just that put back by Uroš. He had another one that was huge. A little bit earlier in the second half, he had a couple tip-outs. John Folkerson had one. He had one that led to three-point shots on offensive rebounds. And, you know, our numbers-wise, we didn't shoot the ball well statistically, but we made timely shots and plays like that. And so Uroš, and you know what, Josh, Uroš has been doing that in practice. He's really stayed with it. He's really embodied what coach wants him to be for this team in terms of a physical presence inside. And that was just a big play. And for him to go 6 of 7 and score 13 points and 7 rebounds and do what he did was really great. And it was big for our team. And then Zakai's been doing that all season in terms of defense. He has taken it to another level here, particularly since the South Carolina game. Obviously, we didn't have any success in Kentucky and Lexington doing it. But he's really taken that on as a personal challenge for him to be able to defend that way. 94 feet, and that was a 94-foot play. That's what he did. I mean, he stole a 94-foot inbound pass at a critical time. But both those guys made huge contributions last night, and it's not just statistically, but just their physicality, their presence, their emotional leadership, their energy. Both were big down the stretch of that game.
Hey, I also wanted to ask you about Uroš getting the start last night. Just what are you guys seeing from him offensively, and how has his defense progressed to where y'all at least trust him in that capacity?
Well, there's a couple of things about Uroš that he does really well. He's really strong in ball screen coverage, just like John is, just like John Folkerson is. And so we feel like Uroš and John are really, from a post player standpoint, very very tuned into what we're doing defensively from a ball screen standpoint, which is such a big part of the game defensively. So we have a great deal of confidence in him that way. Scouting report wise, he's very locked in. He understands, he communicates. He's honestly probably the best communicator there is on the team in terms of talking out there. And such a big part of defense is your ability to communicate and be loud and talk to the front line ahead of him. Because a lot of time he's behind, he's seeing what's happening. So Uroš does a really good job with that. And offensively, you know, again, we know we're trying to get John to find a way to get back consistent. So it's not that, hey, John's not doing this, Uroš is doing this, and it's that simple. There's sometimes you just mix and match, and you're putting a piece of a puzzle together to say, how can we spark John to get back going, get a little more energy? Maybe his first run in the game is a little bit where he doesn't get so tired so quickly. Maybe he has a chance to watch the first 2-3 minutes of the game. It's matchups, which post players play well together. But from a standpoint for Uroš, what he's done is he brings a real sense of physicality. I mean, he's a true center. He's 7 feet, 250. And when he starts throwing his body around and on both sides of the ball, it makes an impact. And he can do that where John, that's not really his game. And as poorly as we played in Lexington on Saturday, if you watch the film, Uroš did a great job being physical with Oscar Tshiebwe, who is the most physical post player in the league. And whether it was on the glass, on defense, he did that. Now, Uroš has a long ways to go defensively, discipline-wise, going for shot fakes, playing overzealous a little bit at times, over-helping, which he did last night two or three times. So that's where he's got to continue to grow. But his overall effort and physicality is what we're seeing on both sides of the ball that we're hopeful can help us and help John.
We're talking to Tennessee Basketball Associate Head Coach Mike Schwartz. And you mentioned talking. How good do you think you are as a team in that regard, on the court, off the court? What do you see in the communication from the players?
Yeah, it's always been something that is a key component to defense, particularly, and it as well as on offense, but defense in particular. And the most cohesive defensive teams talk a lot. And I think we're good. We have a long way to be where we want to be and talk more. This is probably one of the better teams we have communicating out there on the court. It's probably because we have a good balance of veterans and young guys. But from the same token, guys that we need to take another level, another step up defensively, a Kennedy Chandler, who is getting better, but he has to be the head of the snake. He's our point guard. He has to be the guy that is up there and communicating right from the jump of every possession. He needs to be better communicating, and he's working on it. And then you look at Zakai Ziegler, a freshman who actually embraces that role. He likes that, and that's something he wants to do. So the combination of the veterans helping the young guys and the young guys feeling having to go to another level talking-wise, we have a ways to go, and that's why we want to be at our best in February and March with it. But it's a good communicating team, and it's definitely a little bit louder than other teams have been that we've had in the past in terms of communication.
Coach Schwartz, going back to the Kentucky game, what did that experience do to change the team's mindset? Did it make your team reevaluate things? Was it any sort of a wake-up call moment after Saturday?
Well, I think anytime you get beat the way we did, it's a wake-up call from a standpoint of we better get our stuff together. And I say that in a very generic term that, I mean, if it's not eye-opening, then you really shouldn't be playing. If you take a beating like that, Kentucky was fantastic, and you give them the credit. They shot the ball lights out, 68%, 11 of 18 from three, and 20 of 21 from the free throw line, and they got rolling. We couldn't turn them over. We were only able to turn them over 12 times, and they forced 20 turnovers on us. So they had it clicking on all cylinders. But what I do think it did was, especially for, and Kennedy is the first to say it to the team, realize, hey, he got it done on the offensive end that game, and he knows he wants to be better defensively because Wheeler and Ty Washington absolutely, they beat us up pretty good. They're statistically they did from a transition standpoint, the way they pushed the tempo, and from scoring. I mean, all three phases, they really affected the game, and our defense was ineffective because of it. So I think Kennedy took that very personal because that's the point guard spot. Kennedy, Santi, and Zakai all took it personal because they won that matchup clearly. I think they had maybe 59 points or 49 points between them. It was something like, it's an unbelievable stat line. And the way they shot the ball from the field, I think they only maybe missed five shots combined. So that's where it really did. And then the other thing is that we need to stay being the defensive team we are regardless. There's adjustments we can make within the game. But even because if you look at it, Heather, it was a two-possession game with 2 minutes and 41 seconds left in the first half. It was a 6 or 7 point game. And they were shooting lights out. But in the end, it was a two-possession game. Offensively, we were doing what we needed to do. Defensively, we were not really able to get it clicking in the first half. But it still was a seven-point game. And you guys know we have been down double digits. At halftime, we were down 17 with 12 to go 2 years ago and came back and won. So a seven-point deficit in that environment, and with Kentucky playing as well as they were, it was a game. The last 2.5 minutes of the first half, we turned it over a few times. We let them get out in transition. We go down 14 at halftime, and then it just reels from there. We're never even able to get anywhere back close again in the second half. So we learned some things. So what we also learned is, hey, you may not be up 10 for it. You may be down 7, 2, 3 possessions, but it's still a game. You still got to stay with it. And we probably did some things defensively we shouldn't have done. We shouldn't have changed as much because it hurt us. We got to stay being who we are.
We're talking to Tennessee Basketball Associate Head Coach Mike Schwartz. I don't know if you have an update on Josiah Jordan James, who obviously had to miss most of the game last night after going out. But also, what have you seen from the way he's played, maybe ways to get him more involved or be more effective offensively? Just the importance, I guess, of Josiah and any update if you have one from last night.
Yeah, no real update. Obviously, you know, he took that elbow to the head, and so now I know. I think, you know, hopefully he's doing better today. But for him, getting him involved is when he's a stat stuffer. We look back and we look at when Josiah plays really well. We do play well when he's playing well, but it's not necessarily in one column. Very rarely, if he's just doing something in one column, is he effective or are we effective. When he is scoring the ball some, shooting the ball, doesn't have to be volume, but his percentages are there. Most importantly, when he's rebounding, when he rebounds, there's a direct correlation to us playing well. When he is defending like he does, and he does that as consistent as anything for us, when he defends the 1 through 4, even at times the 1 through 5. But when he is doing that across the board, getting his hands on basketballs, deflections, and steals, when we see that, and none of them have to be these egregious stats that are high numbers, but when we see him filling it up across the board, that's when we know he's locked in, our guys, and they're locked in together, and he's at his best and we're at his best. Obviously, when he has a great shooting game, and he has shot the ball better here the last few games, I think he's maybe, you know, 3 for his last 6 or 7 from behind the arc, or maybe even more than that, maybe 4 for something, but, you know, that's a positive. But you don't have, Josiah's not the kind of guy you have to do specific things for to get him going on offense. He needs to be touching every aspect of the game and leaving a little bit of a footprint all over the floor. That's when he's at his best.
Let me ask you this, Coach. I know you're turning the page, maybe a little slower today since y'all just got back, but LSU coming to town later on this week. Just how hungry is the team to get another shot at the Tigers? And what do you see as the biggest challenge that LSU is going to bring to Thompson Bowling Arena?
You know, obviously very hungry, but hungry just to play again on Saturday. I mean, you know, the guys were really hungry to play last night, particularly after, like we alluded to, what happened at Kentucky. But, you know, LSU plays a good brand of basketball in terms of fast and pressing. And, you know, they're the number one defensive team in the country with that and with their press. And they're very active on the ball, creating turnovers. And, you know, we did an okay job up there taking care of the ball. We had 15 turnovers. I think we forced them into 16 turnovers. The area that they really hurt us in Baton Rouge was on the offensive glass. They had 14 offensive rebounds in that game. And to be honest, they were just quicker to the ball. They seemed quicker to the ball. As we went back and we've evaluated the tape several times, they were quicker to the basketball. And we didn't have the fight. And we were very clear with the guys, and the guys knew it, that we needed to. And it's a 5-point game, I think. We got it back down to 5 with a couple minutes left. And but we were fighting that uphill battle in the second half. And a lot of it came from their speed to the ball on the offensive glass. So that's going to be something that we're going to have to handle. We're going to have to be better. And we're going to have to be better handling their pressure. You know, and it's not just the full court pressure in their press that they run, their zone press. It's also the fact that they attack the ball really well in the post. They attack the ball well when you're driving the basketball. So you want to attack fire with fire, but you also have to be smart and you can't turn it over. And we're going to have to find that fine balance in the next couple of days of practice.
It's another big one coming up on Saturday. It'll be at Thompson Bowling Arena, 6 o'clock tip-off, Tennessee at home against LSU. Mike, great to have you back on the show. Thank you for the time. Look forward to talking to you again soon, and good luck as you get ready for LSU on Saturday.
I appreciate it, guys. Great to speak with you, too.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.